All right, now the recorder has started. And we are going into 2 Peter chapter. I'm waiting for my Kindle to wake up.
1 Peter.
Oh, 1 Peter, yes. 1 Peter chapter, is it 4 that we're ready for?
4.
4, okay. 1 Peter chapter 4. All right, here we go. Man walks in fear without knowing what it is that he is fearing. He makes decisions to avoid his fear, only he cannot turn away from that which he cannot see. Because he is blind to it, it follows him. Because it follows him, he continues to run and hide. I always thought that was a pretty good description of fear. Because, you know, one moment maybe I'm fearing being out of money, running out of money. The next moment maybe I'm fearing walking outside in the dark at night. The next minute maybe I'm fearing that dog is going to bite me. You know, the next minute I'm fearing my lover is going to leave me. You know, and it just seems like there's always something to fear if you still believe in fear. And that's really what this is saying. It appears that there's always something to fear because we're not aware of what we fear. So we're projecting our fear onto the dark, onto the dog, onto the money situation. And if we didn't have that general fear, all those same situations could happen and we would not be afraid. So we're not actually afraid of the specific situations, is what this is saying. So let's go on to the next sentence. Fear is a misperception. It is a misperception because there is nothing to fear. What man runs from is his imagination, and in his running he imagines more. And if you look at fear very, very closely, you'll notice that's true. You know, it's like if I'm fearing that dog over there, I'm imagining that dog's going to come and bite me. So what am I really afraid of? The story that I'm making up. If I'm fearing that I'm going to run out of money, I'm imagining getting to that point where there isn't money and I can't pay bills and, you know, however the story unfolds. Like I lose my electricity, I lose my house. But meanwhile, I'm sitting here in my house just fine while I'm imagining all of that, right? When I'm walking in the dark and I'm imagining somebody's going to jump out from behind a bush and get me. I mean, if you look at fear, it's always imagination. And I think it was Peace Pilgrim when I first read about this. Peace Pilgrim said something about, you know, you can only fear when your mind is in the past or the future. There's nothing to fear now. And I thought, you know, I don't agree with her. Because if somebody had a gun in my face and was about to pull the trigger, that would be a reason to fear now. But since then, I've got much, much more subtle. And I've realized if somebody has a gun in your face and you're afraid, it's because you're imagining he's going to pull the trigger. Right? You're actually still imagining. The only thing you can be afraid of is your imagination. And when you realize that, that's amazing. Because that means we're just going around scaring ourselves. That doesn't make any sense, does it?
Right.
Right. So, starting with sentence 8. This is what Jesus taught as a man from the cross. There is nothing to fear. This is a lesson you have become ready to accept. To live without fear is to live without imagining. This is to stay in the now and in the heart of true desire. By keeping the mind in the now and in the true purpose of know thyself, there is no imagining. And so there is no imagining of fear. And this you might be able to imagine. We're going to talk about imagining, not imagining. But you might be able to imagine this. You might be able to imagine that if you never imagined, how could you ever be afraid? You would just look straight at every situation, right? And you would just respond to what's there. But without, you know, without going forward and imagining, you know, even 2 seconds in advance, with no imagining at all, you could never, ever, ever be afraid. It's impossible. Even when the dog's running at you growling, and you get scared, and he's running at you, and he's growling and he's barking, why are you afraid? Because you're imagining what's going to happen in 1.5 seconds when that dog gets here. Right? You're still imagining. So if there's no imagining at all, there's never ever any fear. So starting with sentence 4. Whenever fear seems to come over you, ask, what am I doing now? You will see that you are imagining, and that you are imagining fearfully. Remind yourself that in imagining fearfully, you are creating your own misperception. Be willing to let go of this activity, and the action of creating fear is let go by you. Fear is an action verb. By ceasing the action of participating, you cease the action of fear. This you can do by letting it rise over you without your participation. So what this is referring to, you know, most of us, even if we see the logic in this, we can't just stop the imagining. You know, we can't just turn a key and say, that's it, I'm not going to imagine anymore. And so we may see the logic in this, but then what happens is some situation arises that triggers our imagination, and then we start imagining what's going to happen. And when we start imagining, we literally start making that fear, right? Mm-hmm. And so then that emotion appears. It's saying when the emotion appears, that's going to wake you up to the fact that you were imagining, right? You'll feel the fear and you go, oh, what did I do? Oh, yeah, I imagined this story. I see what I did. But by then, the fear is already made. And so what it's recommending really is that you rest, accept, and trust until the fear that you've already made has passed on. It's kind of, you know, I always imagine it like a, I don't know, kind of like a steam actually that was made inside of me. And then when I rest, accept, and trust, I let the steam kind of rise and leave. And then once it leaves, there's no more steam, you know. And that's what you have to do. You have to realize that when you feel the emotion of fear, it is because you made it through imagining. And so you have to be willing to let go of the imagining and then just breathe or rest, accept, and trust until the fear you already made is kind of evaporated. So sentence 11 says, return your mind to the current moment and the purpose of the true desire of the heart. In this way, you return your mind to love. A mind in tune with love cannot know fear, because fear, which is not real, is the opposite of love, just as unreality is the opposite of reality. That's an interesting statement. It reminds me of A Course in Miracles where it says something about, I can't remember exactly, but something about love and opposites, and then, what is that statement? But what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. So something like that. But that's what this is saying. If love is the opposite of fear, like reality is the opposite of unreality, well, what's unreal doesn't exist. It isn't there. So reality doesn't actually have an opposite. Love would not actually have an opposite either, is what this is saying.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It always has the last word.
Yeah. And so again, if there's any sense of fear, we made it up through imagining. Because there is no real thing as fear. The only thing that's real is love. So if there's a feeling of fear, we made it up by imagining. That's what's always going on. And so we want to let go of our imagining, return to the heart, ask, what do I truly want? If we need to rest, accept, and trust until that fear has passed. And I'll tell you, I mean, I used to be just as addicted to imagining fearfully as any other human, and I don't do that anymore. So I know that that's a habit that you can drop. You know, there are all kinds of things that I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't sit around and imagine fearfully. You know, I just don't.
Yeah.
It's not anything that we have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the miracle drug, because I used to wake up in the middle of the night and go sit on my front porch and in a total state of 100% anxiety with cigarette smoking and just full blown. And I've been I don't have, it's gone.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, I've been doing the word. VNT, I don't know if...
Coincidentally?
If they're...
Maybe it's related. Yeah, maybe. At least it was doing the work of NTI that helped me. I'll say that. Yeah. So, starting with verses 12 to 17. Fear comes from judgment, which is also imagination, but it is imagination you have declared real. This is where you must stop and learn the difference between what is real and what is unreal. So a lot of people, maybe almost everybody, doesn't think about the fact that judgment is imagination. So let's see, we all have, well, nope, Dan and I have on kind of white sneakers, and Priscilla's sneakers are more silver. Well, you know, I don't know, I think silver sneakers are kind of, what's a good word we can use, kind of show-offy. Yeah, you're show-offy, right? Priscilla's show-offy. She's wearing silver sneakers. See how I just made that up? That's what we do every time we judge. So, you know, we judge, you know, oh, he shouldn't do that, she shouldn't have said that, I don't like that, you know, but every time we judge, we're just making stuff up also. And so people don't realize that, you know, every single grievance you have comes from something that you made up, a judgment. The truth is, if we didn't make stuff up, we would just be blissfully happy with what is.
Yeah, I've thought about that a lot.
Have you thought about that?
Remember I told you about that show that judge would make all the lawyers, whenever they made a statement, to end it with, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it really made everything so clear to me. You know, all this that people say, whatever, it isn't so. It's just their opinion, and that doesn't mean it's real. And that really opened my eyes. And so now I've been adding that whenever I say something, in my opinion. Because, and I say, and if I did have that opinion, it's like you said, everything would be fine. Everything would be okay. Everybody's fine. Yeah. And it would help us to realize that we're all the same.
Yeah.
And then that we're all one, like you said. Sameness creates.
Sameness leads to oneness.
Leads. I couldn't remember the word. I didn't think it was create. Sameness leads to oneness. I keep saying create. That doesn't sound right. It leads to oneness.
Yeah, when you get to see sameness, then oneness is just the next step. Yeah, so again, by letting go of imagination, you know, we not only let go of fear, but we let go of grievances and, you know, everything that judgment causes as well. So starting with sentence 3. Unreality is illusion. An illusion is everything that you experience now. There is nothing that you experience within the mind of you as a person that is real. Every thought that comes from the mind of the person is misperception, because the belief that you are a person is the greatest misperception of all. So yeah, I is the first mistake, and then every story about I can't be true, right? Because it's all built on I. You are not a person now, and you have not been a person before. There is no person from this lifetime or any other that you must let go of, because there has never been a person. There has only been the thought of persons. And the thought of persons is not real. Okay, so now, you know, we have fear is imagination, judgment is imagination, and now person is imagination. We literally imagine ourselves to be a person. And that, you know, and each one of these is a little harder to see than the one before. You know, fear is the easiest. Most people don't think about it, but if you look at it, you can say, oh yeah, definitely. Every time I'm scared, I'm imagining. I see that. Judgment, you know, I showed it with the show-offy shoes, right? Obviously, I made that up. We make up all the judgments. Person's the hardest one of all to see that we make it up. But if you pay close attention to your mind, really close attention, you'll see that it's true. For example, one belief that I used to have that I made up was, I don't like the cold.
Yeah.
And then I believed that for, I don't know how many years. I'm sure as a little kid I didn't mind the cold. You know, kids don't think that way. Somewhere along the line I made it up. And then I believed it all the way up until, well, at least this year I'm noticing I don't mind the cold. I mean, sure, I want to bundle up when I'm cold, but I don't mind it. You know, I really don't. That was just a made-up story about who I am as a person.
There's a lot of, lots and lots of those agreements. Of one example, right off the top of my head, is the big retail store. And I had just had this embedded belief, this core belief, that it was probably what in the top three of unpleasant, necessary tasks that have to be accomplished. And I don't know why, but to, you know, doing the, you know, the work that we're doing, I just like, why did I think that? And everything changed.
Yes.
So why was I thinking that? Why? You know, why was I thinking that? And then there's another example. I would never take on a long commute. I believe that I'm the person that would never, you know, and I missed, and one day I just said, why did I believe that? And everything changed. Everything changed.
Exactly. So we make up, when we imagine, when we fear, it's imagination. When we judge, it's imagination. And when we believe that we're a person, it's imagination. So there's a lot of imagining going on. So let's go on to number 9. You have judged the thought of person as something that is real and separate from God. You have judged the person as having life that is cut off from life, and so it cannot survive. And you have placed your mind within this person and said, this is all that I am, so that you have limited yourself to your judgment. This is why you live in fear. The judgment of person you have deemed condemned, and then you have declared, I am no more than my own judgment. So first it showed us that fear is imagination, judgment is imagination, person is imagination, and then it kind of puts them all in together to show that we're imagining that we're not life with a capital L. We're not isness. You know, we're imagining that we're not isness, and because we're not isness, that means we have to die. You know, that which doesn't have isness is going to have to die. And we imagine that's what we are. And now suddenly we're going to die. We're vulnerable. And now we have to be afraid. You know, we have to continue that imagination story. You know, what happens when that dog gets here in 1.5 seconds? What happens when he pulls that trigger? You know, that we have to keep imagining this story that we've made up, that we're this vulnerable person that's going to die. But what this is saying is it's all imagination. And we need to return ourselves to really looking to see that what we are is life, isness. You know, I remember my dad is not spiritual and not religious. And in fact, I think he might even tell you he didn't believe in God, but I'm not certain about that, but I think he might. But I remember he and I were hiking one day, and I don't remember exactly what we were talking about. This is before I was on the spiritual path, so I'm not sure how we got on this topic. But we were hiking, and my dad commented that he was going to live forever. And I asked how he was going to do that, and he said, well, when I die, they'll bury me into the ground, and my body will decay and become the soil, and then plants will grow out of the soil, and then the birds will eat the seeds from the plants. And I don't remember how far he went with that, but what I saw was, he wasn't looking at himself as a human. He was looking at himself, you know, in a material way, but as life. And that life is going to make more life, which is going to feed life, which is going to, you know, breed life, which is going to... And that's what we need to do, maybe without the material aspect that my dad added to it, but we need to see that what we are is life. We're not Regina, Priscilla, and Dan, right? We're life. And Regina, Priscilla, and Dan are all at some point going to end. But what we are is not vulnerable, and it is not going to end. It's just going from one experience to another, which is why some people call it transition instead of death, right? Starting with sentence 14. But now I ask you to look at this thought with the eyes of reality. One cannot place judgment on all that he is, so he must not be limited by that which he has judged. What does this mean? It means that you believe in illusion, but illusion is not the truth of you. It means that you look on misperception, but you are the one that declares misperception true. If you think of isness, and you realize that what I am is isness, what the animals are is isness, what the plants are is isness, and if you can go that far, even what these inanimate objects like the chair and the floor and the silver sneakers are is isness, and you just start realizing how everything is, and so everything is isness, and you really contemplate that. Is there anything in that that you can judge? Can you find anything to judge? No, that's what this is saying. This is saying you can't judge the truth. So anything that you do judge has to be misperception or untruth, because it's impossible to judge the truth. When you see the truth, there's nothing to judge. You can only judge what's not true. So again, you can only judge imagination or misperception, which is another word for it. Verses 18 to 19. You hate yourself for what you have done, but this is because you think you have done something real. I say you have not done something real, nor are you the one that you think has done it. So again, everything is imagination. Everything but truth is imagination. And, sometimes when we're learning spirituality and we learn things like as we imagine, that imagining goes out and paints the world. And that's where some of the things come from, like disease and war and all of that. Some people will begin to feel guilty. I did that. And this is saying, no. The one that's feeling guilty and saying, I did that, is also a part of the imagination, right? And then on top of it, it's saying, and on top of that, everything that you think you did is imagination. The only thing that's still true is life, is isness. And you need to return your attention to that. Take your attention off of the imagination and the apparent product of imagination, and return all of your attention to being, to isness, to life, to I am, right? So sentence 3, step back from illusion and rest with me, for you are lost within a web of misperception. By letting go of what you think you know, I can show you what you do not see. So we'll go ahead and finish up 1 Peter, if that's okay with you guys. So 1 Peter chapter 5. You are the leader of your own awakening. Lead yourself, not by guilt, but by willingness. And again, some people, when they're reading spiritual teachings, they read spiritual teachings with the wrong mind. And so what happens when 1 Peter is explaining to you that fear is imagination, judgment is imagination, person is imagination, some people will start, judging themselves for imagining. And this is saying, don't lead yourself with guilt. Don't lead yourself with the idea, I have to stop doing this stuff because I'm bad for doing it. I have to stop imagining because I'm bad for imagining. Don't do that. That's not going to be helpful at all. Instead, lead yourself with willingness. I am willing to stop imagining. Willingness is lighter. Willingness points towards God. Judgment is heavy, and judgment points away from God. So again, you are the leader of your own awakening. Lead yourself not by guilt, but by willingness. Guilt is the witness to your misperception. By following the feeling of guilt, you stay within the web of misperception. See, it doesn't point toward God. Willingness is the witness to your light. By following your willingness, you are led from the confusion of misperception into the clarity of light. So willingness points toward light. Follow the true desire of your heart. Stay with it and do not let it out of your sight. In this way, you are not confused by goals that seem grand, but lurk within the shadows of misperception. You stay focused with the beacon of light, and you walk through misperception without being distracted by it. So goals that can seem grand, for example, if I'm afraid of running out of money someday, a goal that could seem grand would be, you know, searching for a new job, getting new education, getting a new lover that makes more money. You know, I have all these ideas of how I'm going to make myself safe. But that takes us all the way back to the first paragraph that says, man walks in fear without knowing what it is that he's fearing. You see, I'm believing my imagination again. I'm afraid, okay, I'm going to run out of money. I need a plan. I need to do this and this and this and this and this so I never run out of money, right? And even if I do this and this and this and this and I get myself there, maybe I won't fear running out of money, but a new fear is going to come. Because what's really happening is I'm imagining, and the imagining is causing the fear, and I haven't learned to stop imagining and just be. You know, so I haven't fixed anything. There's an apparent fix, but then there's another fear. Maybe cancer becomes my next fear, right? I have all the money in the world, but 1 out of 4 women get breast cancer. You know, boom, new fear is born, just like that, right? Imagining, by the way. So again, starting with verse 5. Follow the true desire of your heart. Stay with it and do not let it out of your sight. In this way, you are not confused by goals that seem grand but lurk within the shadows of misperception. You stay focused with the beacon of light and you walk through misperception without being distracted by it. Trust is the armor of the righteous. Humble yourself in trust under God's mighty hand. Let all of your fears go, because they serve no purpose that you desire. Walk in peace, with peace as your only shield. This is the way of trust. So what this is saying is, if we really trust, we trust all things, and then we're at peace with all things. You know, so live in trust instead of living in fear, is what this is saying. Just trust it no matter what it looks like. Verses 8 to 9. Be kind and gentle with yourself, forgiving your misperceptions as they seem to come upon you. Misperceptions are to be let go because they are not true. This is the path that leads you from misperception to true perception. And true perception is the reflection of light. It's unfortunate that we have to be told to be kind and gentle with ourselves, but you know, as we all know, usually we're our own worst critic. And so lots of people, again, they beat themselves up for judging. Instead of looking at the judging, saying, oh, I just judged that lady as stupid. Ah, that's my own imagination, isn't it? Okay, I'll let it go. You know, that's how you do it. You don't beat yourself up, oh God, I'm a horrible person. How could I have judged her? You know, you don't do that. You be kind and gentle. You realize, but that's just my, I made it up that she's stupid. Okay, I let it go then. I change my mind. I'm just going to let it go. So you want to realize that your judgments are your imagination. Your fear is your imagination. Even the idea that I'm a person is my imagination. I can just let it go. Right? It's my imagination. I can let it go. Verses 10 to 11. God will come upon you in your willingness to see nothing else. In God, you are free because you are no longer hampered by the misperception that you are not free. Stand willing to let go of misperception through your willingness to see that you have misperceived. It is the clearing away of misperception that helps you to see what it is that you do. As you see what you do in the clarity of light, you may do it in joy and in harmony with the oneness of your truth. This is your true desire, and this is the path of ascension into the realms of heavenly awareness. Amen. So when it talks about doing here, what it's really talking about is the creation of the world. You know, again, the world comes from us. And it comes, you know, if we're thinking fearfully, there's fear in the world. If we're thinking with hate, there's hate in the world. And this is saying that if you let go of all of your misperceptions, which cause you to fear and cause you to hate, etc., etc., you'll gain clarity. And then when you gain clarity, you'll realize with clarity your role in the making of the world. And then you're going to want to be that clarity so that that's what goes out into the world and makes the world. Right? Because you cease to see yourself as a person in clarity. Yeah. So that, you know, that last little part reminds me very much of like the Tao Te Ching. That's what the Tao Te Ching teaches, that when we, you know, it uses its own words, it basically it teaches if we let go of the wrong mind and we just be present with the right mind, everything in the world will settle itself into harmony. That it can only be out of harmony if we're imagining. Right? And so that's what this is saying as well. Stop the imagining and let peace return. So probably if we're looking for an assignment, I would just say start noticing it, you know, as much as you can when you imagine. So if you're afraid of something, see if you can stop and look and realize, oh yeah, I'm making up this story of what's going to happen in the future. If you find yourself having a grievance, stop and look, what are the judgments I'm making up here? You know, can I see that I'm actually making up these judgments? I'm the one that is making up a story that he should not say that or he should not be like that around me. You know, aren't I just making that up? And just try to start noticing where imagining is happening, where before we didn't see it that way.